Good morning. It's good to be up here this Sunday morning. This, of course, being my first Sunday morning sermon, so I did about 10,000 Sunday mornings in my head, so I didn't say good evening. Made it through that difficult portion. And, of course, if everyone's wondering as well, Ed, Sam, and I did Snapchat each other of what we would be wearing. As you can see, we're both in gray. Don't be jealous. Thank you. So, you know, it is always good to be up here and bring forth a portion of God's Word. I'm always thankful for this opportunity and encouraged to see the people and the church come together. I want to say thank you to the elders and to Sam for allowing me this opportunity, and to my wife who gives me the time at home to write these sermons and put them together. I'm very blessed and fortunate to have my wife and family. With that being said, before I go into this sermon, I just want to, make it evident, as I normally do, that it is my responsibility and my duty to bring forth the truth.
Amen.
The truth that is found right here in our Bibles,
Amen.
And that is God's Word. And that if I do make a mistake and am unable to provide book, chapter, and verse for what we believe, to please correct me and help me, so that I may gain knowledge and further increase my ability to preach the truth. And so this morning's sermon is hopefully one that will challenge all of us to examine ourselves, our thoughts, our minds, and our actions, to really look at application in our lives to God's standard. And as you read through Scripture, you see that they transcend time and that they reveal themselves to overcome the world while also showing the consequences of those who choose not to obey them. Now, as mentioned in previous sermons, it has always been God's purpose to dwell with and within His people and to provide in everlasting life. The world's obscure and often negligent outlook on life is a sad and depressing one. You can think about it in today's time, where divorce, vulgarity, greed, corruption, homosexuality, murdering of innocent babies through abortions have overtaken the values and morals that we as the Americans stand for and that God has shown and commanded all of us to follow. These values that God has set since the beginning of time are known as objective moral values, meaning that they transcend time, culture, society. No matter what, they have always been and will always remain true. But as we will look into some of the morals that have plagued and ultimately deteriorated in the United States, similar issues have occurred in Scripture. For example, the book of Judges consistently states the neglect of God, leading the Israelites to their struggles. Or the major prophets that warn if the Israelites or the if the tribe of Judah did not change and repent from their actions, they would be consumed and held captive by the world. Are we, as a united republic, in the same boat? These statistics that I'm about to present came from the Apologetic Press website, and most of us are familiar with that website, for we got our VBS information, and it's a very credible and great website to gather large information for defending our Christian faith and values. And so while presenting these things, although one can argue that on certain grounds the United States is not as dysfunctional as some might contend, these statistics that I will present indicate the difference. That in America, 22% of the population suffers from one or more type of STD. In fact, more than 1 million innocent unborn babies are slaughtered every year. And those are the ones that are documented. And on average, one murder, and not including abortion, occurs every 32 minutes. These are only a few of the ghastly statistics that indicate America certainly is not the shining city on the hill that many, including our founding fathers, would like it to be. If you would turn over to 2 Peter chapter 2, I will read verses 1 through 9. And we will see the type of problems the apostles faced and how they are similar to today's struggle. In 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon them. Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of the truth is maligned. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. And I want us to think about that, stopping in verse 3. Stop and think about that for a second. At that time, what was going on? Many Judaizers were teaching that of the old law and binding certain practices on the new church and the new covenant. And while pagan teachings were reigning rampant, but we know, according to Scripture, that just as their judgment is not idle, neither is that of those who today willfully disobey God's word. Amen. So let us continue on in verse 4 through 9. For if God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them into pits of darkness, reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with seven others. When he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly, and if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to destruction by reducing them to ashes, having them an example to those who would live ungodly lives thereafter. And if he rescued Lot, righteous Lot, opposed by the sensual conduct of unprincipled men, for by what he saw and heard, that righteous man, while living among them, felt his righteous soul tormented day after day by their lawless deed. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment. These truths that Peter presents to us gives an explicit account of where the heart and the soul lies with those who choose to live by the world's standards, who feel today that they may live a life according to their own pleasures and separate themselves from the love of God. But we will see at the end of that the atrocious moral values of the world, and we can say of that of the United States that are afflicting us today, that God will rescue his people. He has given us the ability to overcome that, to find that peace and comfort in his word and with each other. We should have the comfort and confidence to rely upon each other. He is willing and able, he being God, is willing and able to provide us an escape route through his Son, the plan of salvation, and the truth, which is His Word. The Word of God is constantly under attack. In fact, in 2002, an atheist had a ruling in his favor from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeal to remove the phrase "under God" from the Pledge of Allegiance. This was eventually taken to the Supreme Court, where it ended up being rejected. But we see these things taking place here in the United States, where people are constantly trying to take God out of the present. But we need Him to remain strong in our own lives. But the postmodernist viewpoint, which in everything is subjective, meaning that there is no ultimate authority and there is no standard of moral value, this type of thinking will lead to a life of disorder and chaos. We see it happening today, right in front of us, here, in our own city, in our own state. But we know that God, as aforementioned, transcends time, space, and matter, and has supreme control. And I think about that as we went through our VBS, which I wasn't able to finish, but being a part of the adult class, listening to that, some of the teachings that are going on in our school systems, listening to some of the teachings that are presented on television. It is a sad and depressing state of affairs, but yet we know that God is in ultimate control.
Amen.
He is the righteous judge and lawgiver. In Isaiah 33:21, we see that. We see that, "For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us." And in James chapter 4 and 12, we see a similar thought being told to that of the early Christians, who were under intense persecution. To understand that, in James chapter 4, verse 12, it reads, "There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor?" It seems to go without saying that the world is constantly telling us that it's going to be okay, the peace and safety, to not worry, to do what you want to. And this is a similar thought that can be found in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 5, verses 26 through 31. That there are individuals who will bring about false ideas to manipulate the majority, to not be concerned with judgment from God, to not be concerned about where their heart lies, to not be concerned about where their soul lies and where everlasting life may be. And in Jeremiah chapter 5, beginning in verse 26, it reads, "For wicked men are found among my people. They watch like fowlers, lying in wait. They set a trap. They catch men. Like a cage full of birds, so their houses are full of deceit. Therefore they have become great and rich. They are fat, they are sleek, they also excel in deeds of wickedness. They do not plead the cause of the orphan, that they may prosper. They do not defend the rights of the poor. Shall I not punish these people? Declares the Lord. On a nation such as this, shall I not avenge myself? An appalling and horrible thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule on their own authority. And my people love it so." But what will you do at the end of it? An opportunity there to reflect on our own actions and examine ourselves and how we conduct ourselves. In fact, some people within our own families may lead us to destruction, causing us to take their side as opposed to what God would want us to do. You see, the world is filled with temporal pleasures and desires that last for a short time. And that is exactly where Satan wants us to be and wants us to be involved in. These choices can and will lead to an everlasting torment. So we must always be prepared to be the example, no matter where we're at, which function, our workplace, school, no matter where we're at, always be the example. Choosing to live a life that God has set up for us, because we know not when the end will come. We always talk about God's standard being up here and the world so far beneath it and us trying to fit in the middle. But that's not the plan that God has set up for us. We should always be striving and be ready. Because in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 2 through 3, it tells us that very thought. To be ready no matter what. And to be ready at all cost. And it reads, "For you yourself know full and well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape." Peace and safety, a similar thought which is being taught today in our world, in the United States. Peace and safety. And in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 20, we see that we are to be aware of these false prophets and these false teachings that are plaguing us, these ideas. And these values that are being skewed to fit personal desires and personal wants as opposed to what God expects. Matthew 7, 15 through 20. "Beware of these false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits." We must pay close attention because we are in a state of emergency. Our school system is broke. The political system is in shambles and corrupt. The moral standard by which God expects his people to live by, which ought to be the world, is struggling. But of course, this is not because he has forgotten us, but he allows us as a world to choose how we will live our lives and the standards we choose to live by. So it is up to us as Christians to lead the march to righteousness and stand up for the Christian values, to be soul winners. And to be just like the apostles when in Acts 17:6 said that they had turned the world upside down. Amen. Making an impact for the cause of God, not that of worldly things. In 1 Peter chapter 1, 5 through 9, we will see that there's a standard that God expects us to live by and that he has set up for us, and shows the difference in understanding of what is right and what is wrong, and that these values must be taken seriously. 1 Peter chapter 1, 5 through 9. Who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but you believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as an outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. The only way we can come to a full understanding of salvation, love, and peace is by reading and applying God's word. Amen. I remember Charles Nordstrom saying a couple months ago that, and it stuck with me, that all of us and a lot of the world believes in Jesus and believes in God. They just don't want to believe him in what he says. They want to pick and choose the standard by what they live by, as opposed to taking all scripture that has been inspired by the word of God. If we neglect him and his truth, just like those who are trying to do in the world today, we will find ourselves as a lost nation and people. In Hosea chapter 4, 4 through 7, in fact, I think this is Sam's Wednesday night class in Hosea, we see a thought of what happens when we choose to neglect God. Hosea 4, 4 through 7. Yet let no one find fault, and let none offer reproof, for your people are like those who contend with the priests. So you will stumble by day, and the prophet will also stumble by night. And I will destroy your mother, and my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because they have rejected knowledge. I will also reject you from being my priests, since you have forgotten the law of your God. I will also forget your children. Then the more they multiplied, the more they sinned against me, I will change their glory into shame. You can look at many biblical accounts of Sodom and Gomorrah, of Assyria, of Rome, and so many other worldly powers, by the definition of land, of military, of structure, and how they all essentially failed because of lack of repentance and obedience unto God.
Amen.
Just because we are in a world and a nation that is full of sin does not mean we need to be a part of it. And just as previously mentioned in 1 Peter chapter 1, there are certain principles that will separate us from the world. Strength and understanding comes from God. Righteousness and salvation is God. We see this thought in 1 John chapter 5, 1 through 5, 2 Peter chapter 1, 5 through 8, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 12 through 14, which I will read, will remind us of the examples we need to be, and that in order to be an individual after God's own heart, like David, we must not only understand that, but practice it daily. To really look at what we're doing with our lives and the examples we're setting. Are we truly repenting? Are we truly separating ourselves and living to God's standard? Not that of the world that is always seems to be deteriorating, but conducting ourselves in a manner that is proper, that we are guiding, that we have been guided on the straight and narrow. In Matthew chapter 5, 12 through 14, rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by man. But you are the light of the world, a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. So in conclusion, we are to be the lighthouses, which at times, in times of peace, is often overlooked, but is still necessary. And that when storms and darkness and fog arises, ships seek them and search them to guide their paths and keep them from shipwreck. So must our attitudes reflect that the lost can rely upon us, and that in times of peace and comfort, we will have fellowship and encouragement, and we will seek and save the lost just as we are commanded to. So if there is anyone who has felt that they have been slipping and have been overtaken by the world, and sin has entered your lives and consumed you, please come forward and ask for the prayers from the church. For we know what a strong prayer life can do for each other.
Amen.
We know that the prayers of a righteous man accomplishes much, and we are to pray and encourage one another, and we are here for one another. Or if there's anyone who is yet to have been renewed and washed in the spiritual waters of baptism, there is no greater an opportunity than now. And the invitation stands to come forward, and the angels in heaven will rejoice with the addition of the new brother or sister in Christ. So let us stand and sing the song that's been selected.